Episode of 48. If you have ever felt speechless and unsure about what to say to a person who is verbally threatening you, then this episode is just your ticket as we explore the technique that I call expose yourself. And it is tip number 9 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Yes, you've tuned in to the Leading Chaos Podcast, where we make crisis intervention skills easy for you and I. And my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am your host. I'm also the CEO of Response Training Programs, and that is a crisis intervention curriculum. And this week, as we've been doing in subsequent weeks, it's about the Leading Chaos story, and that's detailing stories out of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And we're actually up to the 29th episode on this topic, and I am still kind of finishing up the chapter on, you know, creating order out of chaos, which is really what it's all about, isn't it? And this week, it's all about tip number 9. So we'll be speaking about that shortly. But before we do, I'd like to invite you to participate in the second annual tribute to 9/11. You know, I started this podcast last year on September 11th, and I spoke about my own story. And if you'd like to hear about that, just go back to episode 1, and you'll get to hear about my own personal experience of what happened to me on September 11th. I remember it so vividly. And what I didn't speak about, actually, during that segment, I will be sharing with you on the week of September 11th. And I'm hoping you might share some of your memories too, as we pay tribute to those who have worked so hard to bring our country back from the ashes and for those that we lost. And that's not just a U.S. experience. It's really a universal experience. I really felt at that time that people from around the world reached out, and it was just a major global sadness, but at the same time, endurance. So what you could do is you could go and leave a voice message. You could also send me an email, and I'd be more than happy to read your tribute. And you could send that to me, Rhea, R-I-A, at leadingchaospodcast.com. And don't worry about writing this down. You could always go to the leadingchaospodcast.com website and get these links, but just in case you're sitting at your laptop right now. Or you could leave a voice message and actually pay your own respect with your own voice. And you might want to leave memory in a person's name. You could share your own experience or just a couple sentences about your thoughts on the day. You are more than welcome to. And the way you do that is you just go to this really easy program. It's called SpeakPipe, like passing the pipe. And I believe that was coming from the Native American tradition where you're passing around a pipe. And when you have the pipe, it's your turn to speak. And this SpeakPipe program gives you about 90 seconds to speak. So if you feel that you've been cut off, don't worry. Just press record again and finish what you were saying. I assure you, we will edit and make you sound as good as possible. And if you don't sound good, you don't have to press save. So don't be nervous about that. I know public speaking is like a number one fear, but you could do that because you know how to lead chaos, and that's why you are listening to the Leading Chaos program. All right, so that's SpeakPipe, speakpipe.com/leading chaos. And if you don't remember that, just Google SpeakPipe Leading Chaos and you'll find our link right there. Okay, let's get back to the task at hand, and that is discussing this tip number 9 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict. And I am on page 105 of my book, Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And Tell It Like It is what I called it in the book, but in this episode, I've kind of renamed it out of that kind of clinical title, and I like calling it Expose Yourself, because when I really think about what you have to do to be able to tell somebody, oops, something just fell off my desk, when you have to tell somebody a truth and really reveal yourself, that's what it is. It's exposure at its finest degree. So in order to tell it like it is, you have to dig deep, find your authentic self, and speak a truth. And that could be a little scary. Let me give you, for instance, and this is right out of the book. I have different scenarios throughout the book, and this one was called Redirecting Darren's Threat. And more often than not, the time to expose yourself is when you are threatened, because your humanity is so powerful. And if you listen to last week's episode, which was all about avoiding objectifying yourself, then you knew that if you objectify yourself and make yourself seem like an object, like saying, you know what the rules are, you know what the program says, you know the house rules here, you're no longer Rhea, Jane, or Sue. You are the house, the program, the rules. And therefore, it's easy to commit violence against an object. But as you stay in that human frame of mind and make contact with that higher self of that person that you're speaking to, that's when we move mountains and flip over the paradigm of how conflict normally plays out. So exposing yourself is exactly that. And if you were tuning in thinking I was going to be talking about taking off your clothes, well, this is the wrong podcast. I know there's probably some out there on that topic, but this is not the one on it. And this is about speaking your authentic truth. So let's get back to Darren's threat. And I got this scenario, not this episode, from so many times when I've been asked during a response seminar about what do you say to a person who is threatening you? And we would typically give this example. Wow, did you hear that? I hope you could hear that thunder. It is thundering and raining right outside my window here. And oh boy, that kind of like has a little bit of the mystique, doesn't it? But I'm going to talk through it and include you in on my little mini rainstorm here. All right, so back to Darren's threat. So what happens is it's a scenario where you might be in where somebody comes up, and this might happen in a clinical setting like a treatment program where you have somebody who has a certain mental illness and they are not really in present time right now, and they're kind of seeing the real time as being a bit distorted. And they might say to the social worker, the teacher, the caseworker, something like, you know, Rhea, you remind me of my aunt. She goes on and on and on and nags me about this and doing that job and this job and that job. You know what, auntie, I feel like smacking you right on the side of the head. Whew. What do you say to somebody like that? Well, when I ask the participants in the response training programs, typically what people reply is what they would say to the guy is, what is it about me that reminds you of your aunt? Or what am I doing that reminds me of your aunt? Ooh, now you might think, well, that makes sense. You know, you want to immediately go problem solving and stop doing whatever action that the aunt did that was aggravating Darren. But the truth is that is what we call getting into the content. And you know what would happen if you say, well, what is it about me that reminds you of your aunt? Darren's reply is going to be, well, you know, she did this nagging and she her hair looked like the way your hair is. And she was wearing the same kind of colored shirt that you're wearing. And that just brings the person further and further into that irrational state. And that's not the direction you want to go. You want to leave the irrational state behind and bring the rational self out and clear the air. So what I typically ask people who say something like that is, what do you really want Darren not to do? And they'll reply, well, I don't want him to hit me. So the key there is to speak your truth. Tell it like it is. Don't get involved in the descriptor about Darren's aunt and how you look like her or not. If somebody is saying, you make me so mad, I want to hit you on the side of the head. Well, tell it like it is. You don't want to be hit. So what can we say in turn? Well, I might say to Darren in that situation, I don't want to be hit. I'm here to work with you. Let's work together. Or let's both take a step back. I'm going to take a step back. Or I could say, it's me, Rhea. I'm here today working with you. I'm going to take a step back now. Or I don't want anyone to get injured or hurt. That's not our goal. I'm taking a step back now. So I just gave you like a whole range of different things you could say, but they're all going on the same thread. And that might be a little counterintuitive. What? I should say that don't hit me? I don't want to be hit? And the answer is yes, indeed. That is okay. Expose yourself. Don't be afraid to speak your truth. When you have a truth, that really needs to be spoken. I mean, isn't that what we all want everyone to do in the world, is to kind of speak up and be authentic? So when push comes to shove and you're in that state and you are feeling physically threatened, it is okay to say, that's not why I'm here. I bruise like a banana. I don't want to get injured. That humanizes your experience and keeps it very authentic and truthful. And yes, you are exposing yourself. Now this it really has to be said that this technique has to be timed. And it's not something you need to say in every circumstance. But I do find it works very well in a clinical setting. Because people need to hear that that's not why you're here. And you're not going to go there. Don't banter back and forth with those types of threats. They aren't useful to you or anyone else. What is useful is having ourselves slowed down and speaking clearly. And we begin always making sure that we have adequate oxygen supplied to our brain. And that helps us with our rational decision making and critical decision making at that optimal time. And so I begin my intervention, or if I'm feeling up against the wall and I don't know what to say, what I do know I can do as a professional breather is I can breathe in, hold it, and breathe out. That does really two things for me. One is it gets oxygen to my brain, but it also reminds me, my higher self, that I am present, I am current, I am alive, and I am a human, and I deserve respect and safety. And I could ask for that if I'm being threatened. And it's okay. Now, I have to say this as I guess probably just a reality check, is that this isn't guaranteed. Nothing that I say in this podcast is guaranteed. Sure, we have lots of real life examples, and the response training programs, the curriculum has evidence-based data that says it works. But in the heat of the moment, it's going to be just about you and I, what we have there. There's not going to be any program behind us. There's not going to be a marching band coming up to rescue the day or the cavalry or whatever. It's just going to be you and that person in front of you. And if you can't really support yourself, that person will see you as an eligible victim. And that's not a good place to go to. We want to stay in our present state, that real time clarity with good oxygen and clarity about what we want and what we don't want. And sometimes we get really muddled. You know, we're hearing all these things. You know, Darren saying, you know, you look like my aunt. I feel like hitting you. And our rational self starts thinking, aunt? What? Where did the aunt come from? God, I mean, is she good looking? Serious. I mean, that's what happens when we hear that kind of flutter of junk being thrown at us. We can't think clearly. and we start thinking about these odd things that just clutter up our brain. And yet it is so critical at that time to be really hearing what the person is saying. As often I find when I'm upset and angry, I might really look out of control, but I am really being very precise with all my little daggers, my verbal daggers that I'm throwing out. Because sure, you know, I get upset and angry too, just like you do, right? So we can relate to that sense of hanging on every word. So if we are the receiver of that attack, and maybe that's the wrong word for it, but you know, we are receiving the message, then we want to be in a state of clarity to be able to move it on. And we have to really listen to what that person's saying. And by listening to that and stating exactly back to that person what we do or don't want, we're doing not only that piece of exposing ourselves, but we are acknowledging that we are hearing what that person's saying to us, even if they're in that kind of bizarre, crazy-ass state of threatening us. As soon as you acknowledge a person that they are being heard, that in many ways decompresses the situation. So there's so much to this, and as in all these techniques. And like I said, this is tip number 9 of the 10 tips for redirecting conflict. And if you're in the book, it's titled as Tell It Like It Is. And you know, that definitely works. There's no doubt about it. But I kind of like in the podcast world using a term like expose yourself, because it gets people's, you know, thoughts up and it makes us think out of the box. And really, to me, leading chaos is all about thinking out of the box. So I'm so glad that you joined me today to think out of the box. And we're wrapping this box up right now. And next week, we'll be finishing with tip number 10 of the 10 tips for a redirecting conflict. And that kind of sums it all up. So stay tuned for that. It'll be coming out probably next Wednesday. And meanwhile, this is Aria Windcaller signing off with you just for now. Be kind. Be safe, and go ahead, expose yourself. Your authentic self is just a force to be reckoned with, and it's your truth. And no one, absolutely no one, can ever take away your truth. Ciao for now.